Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hello, like mother, like murder listeners. I am Rachel.
And I'm Heather.
We are the hosts of Like Mother, Like Murder.
We bring you the good, the badass, and the crime.
Each week, we bring you stories from missing and murdered
to survivors and women who empower you.
And of course, some mom talk sprinkled in.
Check us out wherever you get your podcasts at Like Mother, Like Murder.
And give us a follow on social media so that we can say hi.
Okay, love you, bye.
Okay, love you, bye.
You are listening to Perplexity.
What would you do if you heard someone calling your name, only to turn around and see no one there? What would you do if you were lying in bed at night and opened your eyes and were suddenly met with the apparition of a hideous woman bent over you? What would you do if time and time again, inexplicable things continued to happen to you? You are listening to a perplexing listener-sode. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Kadra. If you're new to the show, hello and welcome. I tell tales every single week that have perplexed me. So if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, don't worry, you're in the right place. And if you end up enjoying today's episode, I would love it if you continue to follow along. If you're a returning listener, hello, my friends, and welcome back. So happy you're here. I have some great stories put together for you guys today, largely thanks to listeners, and I'm super excited because I have today, returning to the show, you know her, you love her, Carlisa Salazar, my sister, everybody.
Hello, I'm so happy to be here again. Let's get into this today. I'm so excited.
So happy you're here. Yeah, it's going to be lots of fun. And I just want to shout out everybody as we go through the stories, but just a quick general shout out. Thank you so much to everybody who sent in these stories. I have been waiting to do like a big listener-sode for a while. So I've been like patiently compiling these. And I know I made an announcement on last week's episode to send in listener stories. So if you do not hear yours today, don't worry. I'm still going to be collecting those. I'm sure I'll do another listener-sode in the future. So keep sending those in. Be sure to be following along with the show. Subscribe on YouTube if you haven't yet, and leave 5-star reviews wherever you're listening, please and thank you. Just want to remind everybody also that if you want to support the show and be getting early and ad-free episodes, if you want over 60 episodes of bonus content, go check out the Patreon, patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. You can get $1 a month early ad-free episodes. If you want bonus content, it's just $3 a month. I just finished my 4-part coverage of the Netflix docuseries, Madoff, Monster of Wall Street. That is about the largest Ponzi scheme in history. That guy screwed over so many people, racked up billions of dollars in a Ponzi. So it is a wild story. And we've got lots of fun over there, lots of community. So go check that out if that interests you. Also wanted to shout out Claire. Thank you for posting a cute photo on Instagram in your new merch. You look fantastic. If you guys are buying merch, be sure to tag me in it. I would love to see you guys in your new spooky ghost merch. General trigger content warning for today's episode. This podcast isn't for children, so listener discretion. I will be sharing people's names. I don't think I have any anonymous submissions today. So without further ado, Carlisa, are you ready?
I am so ready. I'm so ready.
Perfect. Let's get into today's listener-sode. So this first story comes from Heather, and Heather says, "Hi, I'm Heather, and I love Kadra and her podcast. I'll start by saying, while I'm a believer in practically everything, ghosts, aliens, clairvoyance, I've never felt in tune or especially sensitive. So when I had this experience, it truly freaked me out. In fact, to this day, this is my only quote-unquote supernatural experience. But sometimes I wonder if it was just a misfire in my brain. When I was in college, I had an internship at a state hospital that specialized in psychiatric care. This hospital has been around for over 100 years, and when it first started, it was completely self-sufficient, being pretty much a working farm for the staff and patients. When I would drive onto the property, it was big, with lots of old dilapidated buildings. Pretty creepy. The hospital also had a forensic unit, which is where I did all my hours. So all the people had committed crimes, but because of the psychiatric issues, they were waiting for trial or serving sentences there. Because of the population, I had to be pretty aware of my surroundings, head on a swivel. I even had to carry an alarm pin to push if something went down or I was in danger. I was almost done with my hours, and I could get some extra hours and finish up my internship if I volunteered on another part of the unit I did not normally work. They were having a talent show. Yep, talent show. And needed extra staff for the extra amount of people. So I went over to this really old building, and since I was not familiar with the layout, when I got to their day room, I set up in the corner of the room with my back all the way to the corner, so I would not have to worry about watching my back. The talent show was wrapping up, and a patient was reading a poem about how her mental illness sometimes felt like being possessed. It was really sad and really creepy. And just as she was finishing, I heard a loud whisper behind me, and clear as day, it only said one word, my name, Heather. My back was still literally on the wall, so I quickly scanned the room to see if maybe it was someone across the room calling me, and maybe the sound bounced off the wall or something, but everyone was pretty much completely captivated by the woman's poem. I spent the next 30 minutes just scanning the room and trying to come up with some explanation. I thought maybe someone was messing with me, but I was on a new unit with people who I didn't normally work with. And on top of that, my badge didn't even have my real name on it. I didn't know if the constant state of hyper-awareness of working there was messing with me or what, but I was very happy to be done with my hours that day. I still can't decide if this was truly a ghost or a spirit from the hospital. After all, the place was definitely haunted, and by some pretty tragic instances that occurred there, I'm sure. Or was it simply a stress response? The internship itself was stressful. Like I said, the environment required a constant state of hyper-awareness, and on top of that, I was in a new place, so I was even more on edge. So was this just my brain freaking out? I guess I'll never know, but it is certainly perplexing.
Can we just talk about a hospital talent show? That's hilarious. Like, who came up with that? What?
That's so creepy. There's a lot to unpack there.
I know. I'm just like, well, and she said she works with mentally unstable patients who are like waiting for trial and stuff. So this is not just like a regular hospital for people who are sick and just need some entertainment. Like, these are people who are sick.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm picturing like all of the armed guards just like around the perimeter of the talent show, like making sure no one does anything they're not supposed to.
Yeah, it's really creepy already because she's kind of setting the scene of like, this is a psychiatric hospital for the insane, people who have committed crimes. And then she also said it like seemed very haunted. So to hear your own name, and she said that she didn't show her own name on her name badge. That's super creepy.
Yeah, there's always something so off-putting about like, number one, just someone whispering something like, pressing in your ear in general, but like number two for it to be your name and for it to be like that clear, like she said clear as day she heard her name. So it wasn't like, did someone just say my name, like she, in her ear said her name. That's freaky.
Yeah, she said it sounded like it came from like right behind her too, and her back was against the wall, so that's creepy.
Yeah, well, she had the right idea sitting against the wall, because I would have probably done the same thing.
Right. Yeah, I didn't even think about like the alarm pin thing too, Heather. That's creepy, having to like push a pin to get help and stuff. That sounds like a really intense job.
Yeah.
But I'm of the suspicion that that could have been something paranormal. That's like one of the most common things that people say, is they'll hear their name being called. And I mean, it was like right up against her when nobody was behind her. So,
Yeah. Perplexing.
Perplexing. Let's get into this next story. This comes from Shannon. And Shannon is friends with my mom. This is the Shannon you know, Carlisa.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So Shannon has had some really creepy experiences with sleep paralysis. And if you guys have been listening to my other episodes about the Hat Man and sleep paralysis, that is a topic that very much perplexes me. I got quite a few sleep paralysis submissions, so we're going to hear several of those today. But yeah, this one is from Shannon. So Shannon says, "Hi, Kadra. I'm a big believer and have lots of vivid dreams, both good and bad. This is relevant, as because of this, my husband knows when I'm having a nightmare, parentheses, because of my breathing changes, and will wake me up. For whatever reason, when I am having a nightmare, I feel like I can't breathe. It's always me gasping for breath. As you can guess, it's not fun. I have a couple that come to mind when I think about sleep paralysis. They both occurred in our former house and have long suspected there was something there that contributed. I never slept well the entire time we lived there. The first one, I was aware I was dreaming, yet I was unable to move. I mean, it did take me a minute to realize, but I was aware. I remember feeling like someone was near me, like hovering. You know that feeling you get when you know someone's watching you? That's what I felt. Only, I was also feeling like someone was near me, too. I was horrified to open my eyes to a hideous female figure bent over me, right above my face. All I could do was stare at her. I wish I could describe her face better. She was a hooded figure and seemed to be floating almost. Her face was horrible, and her hair seemed wet and stringy. She was just there, staring at me, and would do a slight head tilt every once in a while. I wish I could describe her better, but I don't watch scary movies to compare her to anything. But she definitely looked demonic, hideous face. Because my body was still asleep, there were a few moments I was unable to move my body, or to remind my brain that I was dreaming to help me get control back. I tried to speak, but was unable to. My husband heard me struggling to breathe. I was in full panic mode and was able to help me out of it, like her husband was able to help her. I was too scared to go back to sleep and had trouble falling asleep for a long time after that. I can still picture her in my mind to this day. This was probably around 4 to 5 years ago. The next event was in the same house, and this is the worst one I have ever experienced in my life. This is because to this day, I would swear to you, I was fully awake and aware. It was so vivid and happened in real time in my real current surroundings, so nothing seemed off or fantastical, as a dream would indicate. I was lying in my bed and my husband was being silly and was sliding his head into me, face down on the bed, like nudging me to bother me. I laughed and I said, "Stop," but he kept doing it. I could feel him on my leg and hear him laughing. If you know my husband at all, he knows my limits and would never do anything to make me uncomfortable, and he especially would never scare me. When his head kept coming at me and actually causing me to move over in the bed, I got this terrible feeling, mostly because I know my husband would have stopped by now. I slowly realized it was not him and just knew something was not right. Just had a terrible feeling. So I grabbed his head to stop him, only to realize it was not attached to anything. Just a head moving me over in the bed. I am slowly becoming aware that I must be dreaming, but I am unable to wake myself up. I cannot speak, I cannot breathe, and I feel like my throat is closing up on me. I slowly become fully aware that I'm dreaming, but for the life of me, I cannot wake myself up. I remember telling myself, "It's not real, it's a dream," which usually works. Then I finally became consciously aware it was a dream, but due to sleep paralysis, I was not able to move and I still had the feeling of being unable to catch a breath, and I was panicking. It took me a long time to shake it off. My husband is the one who usually helps me feel safe, but because he was the one who scared me in my dream, I spent some time wondering if he was real, or perhaps I am somehow still stuck in the dream. It was crazy inception kind of stuff, lol. This particular dream caused me nights of insomnia because it was hard to trust what was real, and I truly thought I was awake. That is the only one where I felt everything physically happening to me and thought I was awake the whole time. The battle in my brain during this was incredible. I hope this is what you're looking for. It seems brief, but they didn't seem like it when they were happening. I tried to include as much detail as I can recall. Have a great day, Shannon.
Oh my God. What the hell, Shannon? Oh my God. Okay, I have several things to say. Let's just talk about the first one. The woman. Why does it always have to be a hooded, ugly, dark, demonic figure? Why can't it just be a happy little face just smiling over you? What? It's always wet, stringy hair and gross, hideous teeth and big... Okay, that's terrifying. And then she told that story and then was like, but there's a worse one. So I was already screaming at that one. But the head being detached from the body is terrifying.
I hated that.
Well, and like also for it to be her husband, not just like a head, like genuinely a head, a detached head in general is crazy to think about. But the fact that it was her husband is, I can't even imagine how she felt.
No, that's so freaking creepy. The first one reminded me of the night hag, and that's like a common entity that people claim to see in sleep paralysis. It's like an old crone that like bends over you, and it's described as an old woman. She'll sometimes crawl onto your chest. Because in sleep paralysis, you often get the feeling you can't breathe. And so it's like combined with your dream state and having a nightmare. And so when she sits on your chest, that's the like can't breathe feeling. But then like the story of her husband gives me like doppelganger vibes because it's like this evil version of him that's like scaring her and messing with her. But I don't know what the decapitated or disembodied head is about.
Like a mimic is yeah. What I thought of. That's exactly what I thought of when she said that, because they were like, it started out like nice. They were tickling each other and like laughing. And then it very quickly turned sinister and she couldn't tell if it was actually him or not. That's very mimic to me. That's what it seems like.
I hate mimics.
Well, and the only ones I've ever seen, like, as far as like research goes, were ones that people could hear. Like, they could hear them from another room. But I've never seen one like this where it's like, I was seeing this person and they weren't who I thought they were, you know?
Right. Yeah. Usually, like, the doppelganger stories I hear, I'm like, it looked just like him, except his smile was a little too wide or his eyes were a little too big. Ugh.
Yeah. Shannon, that's absolutely horrifying. And I can't believe we've never heard these stories before.
Right.
Thank you for sharing them with us.
Yes. Didn't she also say that there was weird stuff going on in that house, too?
Yeah. Is that the house? I can't recall. Did she say that's the house they still live in or that they used to live in?
I think it's, yeah, it says former house. They both occurred in our former house. I have long suspected there was something there that contributed. So some type of negative energy or paranormal activity, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, good girl. We got you out of there.
Yeah. I hope you saged that house when you left.
poor owners now.
Right? Well, let's hear another sleep paralysis story from Sarah B. So Sarah says, I was about 18 years old, and I babysat for a family that lived far out in the woods in Louisiana in the early 2000s. They were strange and very religious, but they paid well, and I liked the kids. Occasionally, the parents would go out of town, and I would be paid to stay overnight for a few days. During the day, the home was fine, but at night, it always felt so eerie, like something was watching you. We were deep into the woods, and when you look out of any window, all you saw was trees as far as you could see. One night, towards the end of my last stay there, I had just gotten the three children to bed. I laid on the couch and fell asleep, and I woke up in what I'm assuming is the middle of the night, but I couldn't move. I had experienced sleep paralysis a few times before, so I recognized that that's what was happening. I felt such a deep fear that I couldn't do anything about. I heard one of the kids' bedroom doors open and a creak at the top of the stairs. This was a very old home, and they had a very old wooden staircase that creaked and groaned loudly when you walked on it. I heard what I thought was one of the kids walking slowly down the stairs. Very slowly. I wanted to ask if they needed some water or something, but I couldn't move. But when they got to the bottom of the stairs, I realized it was not one of the kids. I couldn't turn my head to look, but I don't know if I would have had the courage to look even if I could. There were heavy, slow footsteps that got closer and closer and stopped when it got to me. I was laying facing the back of the couch with my knees bent. I felt whatever it was sit down on the couch in the bend behind my knees. And I could feel it staring right at me. The fear I had in that moment was unlike anything I have ever felt. I don't know how long this lasted. I fell back asleep. When I woke up, it was daylight and time to get the kids up. It took me a long time to be able to even talk about this and process it. When I did finally talk about it, it was laughed at, like it was a silly ghost story. But unless you've lived it, you just don't understand. I'm not sure where I stand and what I believe with the paranormal, but I know that there are things out there that are not human that we don't understand. And no, I never went back and babysat there again. Thank you for letting me tell my story.
Well, I'm glad that you took your lesson, unlike the movies where you just never went back there again. I have never experienced sleep paralysis myself, but it sounds like horrifying. I never want to have to experience that. Just not being in control of your own body, not being able to move, not feeling like you can't breathe. Like, none of that sounds like a pleasant experience. And for it to be that close to you in the bend behind your knees and you not being able to look, that's, yeah, I can't even imagine that feeling.
Yeah. No, that the feeling of something like sitting down next to you in the bed or wherever you're sleeping is so creepy to me. The idea of like her not being able to see it, but feeling like the slow, heavy footsteps and then it sitting at like the bend behind her knees is just like gross.
Yeah, the very, very slow footsteps. But could you imagine if it had like started out slow and then like sprinted towards her, you know, like I'd almost rather it just be slow if you can't look. That's wow. That's crazy. And she was only 18 years old.
Yeah. And she said it was at that creepy house and she said they were like really religious, but yeah, she never went back there to babysit. Probably a good idea.
Well, and we know that religious places like houses or even churches, like they can still have very demonic and creepy spirits lingering around them. It doesn't matter if they're religious or if it's a freaking temple, those things will always somehow find their way in.
Right. Well, I mean, like the stories that I've told of my experiences from our childhood, they all happened in my childhood. And I've often attributed that to us being religious. Like, I feel like that actually attracted more activity, at least for me. And I haven't had any experiences in my adult life, but I'm not religious anymore. So it's just interesting that potential link between like sleep and the paranormal, or like being religious and attracting paranormal or like demonic activity.
Almost like you're a bigger target in a sense.
Exactly. Okay, I do have another sleep paralysis story. This is from Mary, and interestingly enough, this also takes place in Louisiana, just like Sarah's. It is in her grandfather's old house as well, just for a little bit of context. I am going to be going back and forth between me talking and quoting Mary because she sent me three separate emails, and I did have to kind of reconstruct things for it to like flow and make sense. So if I'm going like in and out of talking and quoting her, that is why. But she starts to explain that she had a lot of experiences with sleep paralysis. But for this particular encounter, she swears she was awake, kind of like Shannon's story with the head.
Okay.
So she says, quote, "Growing up, some of my family members would do voodoo. That's pretty common down here in Louisiana. I'm not sure if it's related to this at all, though, to be honest. Anyways, my grandfather died when I was around 16, and I want to say like 2 or 3 years later, my sister had her second little boy. At the time, he was her third kid, just the second boy. He was old enough to walk on his own, but he was, I want to say, 2 years old at the time. One night I was babysitting him, and I put him down in my grandfather's old room. The way the layout of his house was, his bedroom, hallway, bathroom, kitchen, turn the corner of the living room, then you see another bedroom, and then my bedroom. You had to get through the second bedroom to get to mine. Well, that night, it was just me and my nephew in the house, and I wanted to make sure he didn't wake up when I had to put him down. So I had turned off literally everything. I went back to my bedroom, and I was laying on my stomach with the door open so that I could listen for him. At some point, I turned my head and looked at my door, and I saw the silhouette of a man with a fedora. He was as tall as my door. I felt so scared when I saw him. But I shot up out of bed quickly and turned on my light switch, which was right by the open door. When I turned on my light, my nephew was standing in my doorway, just staring at me. But the silhouette I saw did not match what my nephew's shadow would have been. I don't even know what would have caused my nephew to make a shadow because, like I said, everything was turned off. I don't know if this is related, but I did read articles that you only see the shadow man when you're really sad or depressed. He literally follows you around and feeds off of you. I believe what I saw in my grandfather's house was the shadow man. My grandmother used to do voodoo in his house. Again, I don't know if that is related. I was really depressed for years after my grandfather's death. I mainly experienced sleep paralysis while I was living in his house. Hurricane Ida passed and destroyed his house and everything in it, including everything I owned. During that time, I was depressed and not sleeping well. I was barely getting out of my room. One night, while I was sleeping, I heard the voice of my dead aunt. She was calling me by my nickname, Mare. It sounded like she said it right in my ear. I also had recurring dreams about my grandmother. She used to live in an apartment, and my cousin ended up moving into her old place after she died. I would go sleep over there sometimes, and each night when I was sleeping in that apartment, I would dream that I was in my grandfather's house and I was being chased by something. I never saw what was chasing me, but I knew that it was my grandmother. I would run straight to my grandfather's room and I would feel safe after I would make it there. I now live somewhere else and I only recall experiencing sleep paralysis once more since then. So then Mary mentions to me that she recently had a tragedy in her family. There was a sudden passing of a female loved one. She did not want this loved one to be named. She didn't want me to mention specifics. So I'm just going to say female loved one. It happened recently.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
And Mary found out that it was common for her nephew to claim he was seeing something in the corner of her grandfather's old room. My understanding is this is like right after this death happened. He would always go into the corner of this room and just kind of stare into the abyss. So Mary wonders if her nephew saw the same shadow, maybe, that she saw that one night, the shadow man. And not long after the death of this female family member, Mary mentioned that she thinks she may have experienced astral projection. In this astral projection, Mary saw herself interacting with this loved one, the female that had passed away. She says, quote, "She was taking a picture with my dog, Foxy, and saying that she was a ballerina. She looked mist-like. That's when I realized I must have fallen asleep. The furniture in the living room was also different. She was doing exactly what she was doing the day I had taken that picture of her in real life. She was dressed like she was in the real picture. I can't usually control my dreams or anything, but I was aware of what was going on. She stopped doing what she was doing and looked at me, like she was surprised to see me. I told myself to hug her. I went to her and hugged her, and then I woke up. My dog, Foxy, who had been sleeping under my bed, poked her face out from under my bed and just looked at me, whimpering. The Friday before she died, my dog, Foxy, was acting really strange. She would just cry and wake me up and bug me. She would cry all day. So I would be thinking maybe she just wanted to go outside. But when I would bring her out, she would always try to guide me to this loved one's house." End quote.
Wow. I mean, we already know that animals obviously have some sort of sixth sense to these kind of things. I have a question about sleep paralysis, because do you think it has to do with the mental state that you're in? And also, do you think it has anything to do with the place that you're at, like your location?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's like, there's so many different theories about it, but the general consensus and like what I think is that we experience sleep paralysis when we are under some type of stress, if we're more prone to having sleep disorders. And there are a lot of stories where they only happen when we're under stress. So you could say that we're under stress because there's some type of spiritual attack or being like something negative has attached to us. People who believe in the paranormal, when you're asleep, you're more vulnerable to having those experiences. So there's different theories about that. There's other people who are more in like the medical community that are like, when you see those things, it's because it's basically like leftovers of what your brain is dreaming. So it seems real because your brain is awake partially and your body's asleep, but it's like that's leftovers from your dream state.
Okay. I mean, and like, Mary, I connect with you on so many levels just reading this story. Like, obviously, our papa died when I was 16, and that was really hard on me as well. Like, it was the first actual death that I had experienced. And then right after that was when my best friend, when Kendall died.
Yeah.
So having to deal with both of those at the same time, I had a very real premonition about her that happened that felt so real. Like exactly what you're experiencing. I was talking with her. She was talking to me about what was going on in her life. And then I woke up but it felt so real in the moment. And processing death, I think, does crazy things to our mind in these moments. And we're more susceptible to things like that.
And there's always that question, too, of like, can our loved ones visit us in our dreams? I mean, like you said, you had that dream about Kendall, and this was before her death, right? As a premonition?
I said a premonition. I probably used the wrong word. No, this was very shortly after. After she had died. But when she was talking to me in her dream, I wasn't talking to her like I knew that she had died. It was just like we were hanging out and having a conversation.
Yeah.
And like the back of my mind, I knew she was gone. But in that moment talking with her, we weren't treating it like so, you know?
Yeah, that sounds so much like Mary's experience. And then it's also interesting because she said that this girl seemed surprised to see her. It's like, oh my gosh, you found me.
Yeah. That's a very sad story. And I hope that you've been able to find some peace, Mary.
Yeah. I do have a question too, Mary. So you talked about your grandmother and how you would have these nightmares that you felt like she was chasing you. Like you couldn't see it, but you knew it was her. Like, what was the situation with your grandmother? Because it sounds like you were really close with your grandfather, but if you're having nightmares and like, sure, it's her, it's like, was the grandmother more of a negative figure in your life? That's unsettling.
I was wondering the same thing because she would run to her grandfather's room to feel safe away from her. So I'm wondering the same thing.
Yeah. And she said that her grandmother lived in an apartment. So it sounds like maybe they were not together, but interesting. Yes. Thank you, Mary, for sending that in. Okay, so I have a big story now to get into. This comes from Natasha. Natasha, I have talked to a couple of times on Instagram before, and Natasha, to me, is very intuitive. She's clearly sensitive. She has had a lot of crazy things happen to her. She has a ton of premonitions that she is going to be discussing with us today. Natasha says, quote, "Many people chalk up weird happenings to mental health issues. I have questioned my experiences my whole life and got myself evaluated multiple times to ensure there was nothing mentally that would cause my issues. The only thing stranger than realistic dreams and visions is when those things come to pass and can be officially labeled as premonitions. I will give you some of the instances that I know happened and cannot be explained. 1. On multiple occasions, I have gone to sleep and woke up in a pregnant woman's body. Some are in the middle of an ultrasound. Sometimes I'm in the delivery room holding a sweet little bundle of joy. And a couple times, I am handing a freshly birthed baby to a family member. I would know who I was and the gender of the new family addition. At first, I thought it was just strange dreams about people I knew. Within a few weeks, the mother-to-be would find out about the pregnancy. On top of that, around 9 months later, the same person from the dream would give birth to, you guessed it, the same gender baby I would dream about. At first, I began telling the parents about the gender during the baby showers and had a 100% accuracy rate. I then started calling when I had the dreams, and then we found that the timing of the dreams lined up closer to the conception time. I have gotten 12 in a row correct, including a couple that I knew would not make it to term. 2. I believe that with life comes death, so that makes sense as to why my premonitions involve not only births, but deaths as well. A. It started when I was living with my mother. My grandpa had been suffering from Alzheimer's for years and deteriorated to the point he had been moved to a hospital over an hour away due to his size and violent tendencies. I went to bed on the couch in the living room. I awoke in my dream in a hospital bed. I was in straps and I could not move my feet and arms. I was looking at a nurse that had had her back to me and was making notes in a chart. Suddenly, I couldn't breathe, like something was sitting on my chest. I screamed for help and I tried to get her attention, but she acted like she couldn't hear me at all. The edges of my vision began to go back and shrink until everything was black and I jerked awake. A moment later, the phone rang and my mom answered. I couldn't hear what was said, but the instant she rounded the corner, I asked if Grandpa was dead, and the call was for next of kin. I had felt him pass right there with him as it was happening. To make things weirder, I found out later that the nurse I saw in the room with him that day shared my name, which is not a common name. B. A couple weeks later, I went to bed and woke up in a house party in the middle of nowhere at a location I didn't recognize. It was dark outside, but everyone noticed a man walking towards the house in dark denim jeans and a navy blue hoodie, with the hood covering their face. When people knew he was coming, they panicked and scattered. I ran outside with an African-American woman as we headed out towards the woods. We stopped and ducked behind a large piece of metal that in my dream seemed to be a piece of farm equipment. She was breathing heavily, and I kept telling her to cover her mouth so that he couldn't hear us. Suddenly, the man appeared from behind the metal and pulled a knife. We both screamed in terror as the man began stabbing the woman, even when she fell to the ground. I yelled for help and told him to stop and said that I was calling for help. Again, the man acted as though I wasn't there and he couldn't hear anything I was saying. I then woke up in a dead sweat and my heart was racing. The next morning, I was making coffee in the kitchen, where my parents always had a small TV set to the morning news. I glanced up and froze. On the screen was the face of the woman I had never seen until I watched her be attacked the night before. I turned the volume up and learned that her body had been found, stabbed to death behind a dumpster in an alley about an hour from where I was. C. The one that bothered me the most happened years later. I went to bed and woke up in my other grandpa's body. I was in the hospital again. I was wearing a hospital gown. I had a horrible headache, blurred vision, and difficulty breathing. I was having issues focusing, but was able to gather that things were bad, and we were trying to get everyone on a conference call to talk because we were two states apart. In my dreams, there was some concern because my brother was not answering his phone and everyone was trying to find him before time ran out. We were on the phone when suddenly I could not breathe at all. My aunt that my grandpa lived with was by my side and wearing what looked like a hazmat suit. The nurses hurried and the edges again began to fade to black. I woke up again, sweating and breathing heavily. I just knew he was going to die. I had PTO and could go, so I told my husband at the time what had happened and that I needed to go see him before it was too late. My husband told me it was all in my head and that he had stuff going on, so I should just stay home and that everything would be fine. We argued a while until he told me to just call my grandpa, who was probably okay, and I would feel better. I called him, and he was, at the time, just fine. We talked about his favorite football team's victory the night before, the old Westerns that he had watched that week, how he was feeling, and how he was excited to go out with a woman at a local bar for dinner and line dancing. I told my husband that he sounded good and mentally sound, but I just knew, deep down, he was going to die, and I needed to see him. The rest of the day, we went back and forth until I agreed to stay and that maybe it was just all a bad dream. A few days later, I was at work and my mom called me, which could only mean an emergency. I answered and my mother told me my grandpa was heading to the hospital. He was in his room when he stood up, got lightheaded, fell, and hit his head on the side table, which knocked him unconscious and caused severe bleeding because of his medications. Due to his size, they had to call the paramedics to get him upstairs into the hospital. After about a half hour, I got another call that things were not looking good, and they wanted to get everyone on a video call to say goodbye. He had gotten COVID, which led to double pneumonia, caused his oxygen to be low, resulting in the fall and head trauma, with a positive concussion diagnosis. Just as predicted, we were all on the call except my brother. We couldn't get a hold of him. We did speak to my grandpa, but I knew what was going to happen. He was incoherent, could not focus, and didn't seem to be talking to anyone in particular. That was until he called my name and asked if I could hear him. He then said, "I know you are here with me. I love you so much. Thank you for not making me be alone. I will be seeing you soon." Of course, everyone was confused, but I knew exactly what he meant, and I immediately broke down and told him I would be waiting for a visit. We wrapped up the call and were informed 20 minutes later that he was no longer with us. I called my husband and reamed him, because I told him he did not have long and that he should have listened to me and let me go see him when I asked, because I could have made it in time. A month later, I went to bed and I woke up in a Casey's gas station. I looked over and saw my grandpa sitting at a diner-style table, grinning ear to ear. He had a large cup of coffee and a pile of frosted donuts. I sat with him and had a great conversation. He told me he had never been happier. He was exactly where he wanted to be. He didn't hurt anymore. There was no sadness. And he occasionally got to see his past loved ones. I would like to point out that he was also diabetic with a lot of health issues. So before he passed, he was not allowed to have his favorite frosted donuts and a coffee from Casey's. D. It's not always people that I knew personally. I had yet another dream where I awoke in my mother-in-law at the time's house. It was strange because I was in a hospital bed in her living room. I was an elderly man, but I did not recognize myself. I was in the house and there was an in-house nurse in the room. My mother-in-law had just walked into the other room. As per the norm, I suddenly felt like something was very heavy on my chest and I could not breathe. I was yelling and trying to get the attention of anyone who would listen, but again, everyone acted like they couldn't hear me. My vision began to fade until everything went black and I woke up with labored breathing. It was about an hour later when I realized who I was. I called my husband and told him if he had anything to say to his stepdad, he should call and tell him because he did not have long to live. You see, I had never met his stepdad in person because he was elderly, and when his health had started to decline, he moved to a nursing home one state over, where my mother-in-law also lived. He again told me I was probably just having a weird dream and it didn't make sense that I would know because his stepdad was fine and I had never met him. Later that same day, my mother-in-law called to tell my husband that they were putting his stepdad into hospice and moving him into my mother's house. The next day, he passed in a rental hospital bed in my mother-in-law's living room. E. There have been a couple instances where dreams were not involved. One time, I was driving through town on my way to work. We don't typically have any wildlife in town, other than the occasional skunk, possum, or stray cat. However, I was in my car when I saw myself driving further down the road with deer in the road. I then heard a voice that said, "Slow down and watch for deer." I paused, trying to figure out what was happening. And then the voice said again, "Slow down." Confused, I slowed down. And half a block later, three deer ran into the road and I just missed them. F. Another time, I was at a family dinner and I hugged my brother's girlfriend. When I hugged her, I saw myself in the passenger seat of a car. There was a curve in the road with a guardrail on one side. I looked over to the driver and I saw an outline of what looked like my brother. I told him to remember to watch for deer and he needed to slow down. I looked back out the windshield and a large buck had jumped over the guardrail and stood directly in the middle of the lane. He had slowed down just in time and avoided a collision. I told his girlfriend what I saw and she just stared at me in amazement and told me that the road I described sounded just like the one they normally took on the way home. Later that night, I got a call from her with a bunch of questions because exactly what I said would happen did. She told me if I had not told her about this, she never would have told him to slow down the car because they had never seen a deer in that area before. End quote.
Oh my God. My first thought is she a psychic? Like, and she just doesn't know it?
Right.
Really cool gift to have, but also very, like, I don't envy you.
No.
Natasha, at all. I don't envy you because that's a lot to have to carry. Knowing that people are going to die before they die or that things are going to happen before they do, like, I've had dreams and stuff that have told me about what's going to happen in the future, and they've happened before, but never to this extent.
Yeah. These are so vivid. And she's like waking up in their body.
Yeah.
And or like, not, you know what I mean? Not waking up, but like she's dreaming of being this person and people she doesn't know.
Well, and she's feeling what they're feeling. Like, it's not just that I'm here in the room with them or I'm waking up in their body. I'm feeling what they are feeling.
The woman who got murdered, that was crazy.
Yeah, and the fact that she didn't know this woman either, because like all the other stories seem to be people that she knows or has heard of, at least.
Yeah.
Like the stepdad, she didn't know him, but she knew of him. And it's crazy, too, that she got that feeling and she just knew it was the stepdad even though she had never met him before.
Right. It must be really frustrating too, because it's like for the most part in this story nobody really listens to her, but she is right all the time. The pregnancy thing too, she said she guessed like 12 genders and like pregnancies if they were gonna like make it to term or not.
That's wild. And like, man, come on. The husband is like the classic movie husband. It's like, you're just dreaming of it. And like, she proved you wrong once and was obviously upset about it. And you have the audacity to not believe her again. Dude, what are you doing?
I would hope that after this event with the stepdad too, that she would believe her. But I did think that was really sweet that she kind of got to say goodbye to her grandpa and he got his donuts and his coffee.
From Casey's.
Yes.
Wow.
What a story, Natasha. You have a gift, but that's insane.
Yeah, you have a gift that a lot of people, that could help out a lot of people, I think.
Yeah.
You could do some good with this gift.
Absolutely. Thank you, Natasha, for taking the time to write all of that.
Yeah, that was very well written.
Yes. Okay, so these last two stories, they're super short, but they were left in like YouTube comments, and I thought they were really interesting because they relate to Garner State Park. I did an episode on Garner State Park, I think at like the very beginning of season two, and just talked about how there's like a lot of UFO activity there. I think we talked about like some Bigfoot things. But the biggest thing that I keep hearing on like TikToks, YouTubes, anyone that responds to this video, they're like, I saw a UFO there. I saw a UFO there. There's lots of UFO and UAP sightings. So I got these two comments. This first one is from Liller7204, and they say, my family has a summer tradition to go to Garner State Park during the 4th of July weekend. But I'll say during the early 2010s, my cousins were playing basketball near the dam area in the park. And I'll say around 7:30 at night, the sun was coming down, and we decided to stay on the court to go skygazing for stars. I know for a fact we all saw this bright orange orb flying past the old Baldy Mountain. And it started changing directions. It flashed at us, and then it just took off, flying towards the San Antonio area, and disappeared over the horizon, where we were all confused on why we saw what we saw. Okay, so they're saying it doesn't move like an aircraft or a jet.
Yes.
We were also scared to fall asleep since we were sleeping on cots. So then, Claudia says, my husband and I have taken a few trips to Garner over the years, but this last time we went, it was around 9 p.m. and very dark already because of the time change. And as we were driving past the scenic overlook there at Garner, my husband said he quickly saw four figures, one wearing white and all looking in the direction of the car. I didn't get to see it because I was looking up directions on my phone. I suggested turning back to see if it was just animals. He did not want to turn back to see what it was, and it made him feel very uneasy. I couldn't sleep that night, LOL. The next day during daytime, we went back to it and saw what looked like raccoon prints on some barricades that are there. But I don't think it was from that because he said they appeared to be humanoid. Very creepy stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to take a trip to Garner. I'm good.
I'm going to say this on this episode. So Garner State Park is in Concan, Texas, not Konkin, for all you people who came for me on TikTok.
Concan, Texas. Are you happy now?
Duh. All 200 of you that lived there came for me, stitched my video, made fun of me because I said Konkin and not Concan. So if anyone wants to go visit, it's Concan.
To be fair, that's a very easy mess up to make. It's not like something that's like, oh my god, how could you get that wrong?
Oh no. I was told I was a complete idiot and should never make a TikTok again. I shouldn't be doing this because I don't know how to say the names of towns that nobody lives in. Can you tell I'm bitter?
Yeah, just a little bit.
But thanks, yeah. Guys, for all the views.
Yeah, keep sharing. Oh, wow.
Well, any other thoughts about these stories?
These are all very, very crazy in their own ways. And it just further pushes my belief of the paranormal and just unworldly things. Like, I've always believed in that kind of stuff. But just the more that I hear, and the more it, like, yep, this is real and this stuff happens all the time. And it's just, it blows my mind.
I love the listener stories because there's something so compelling about a person listening to your show and being like, oh my God, this thing happens to me, and writing in their own personal vulnerable experience. Like, it's just more compelling to me when it comes from listeners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
People like you. And if you guys have listener stories, I would love it if you send those in. PerplexityMysteryPodcast@gmail.com, or you can send them to me on Instagram. Just send me a DM. But that, everybody, is today's perplexing listener-sode.
Yay!
Hooray! Just want to remind everybody really quickly, if you have not done so yet, to subscribe to the YouTube channel, like this video, and drop a comment if you enjoyed. And if you have not done so yet, please, please, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Each time you do that, it boosts me up the charts, helps me get new listeners. It puts me in Spotify playlists. So if you do that, I will love you forever. Support and merch links are down in the episode description. Patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast is where you can get all those early ad-free episodes and exclusive bonus content. Thank you, Carlisa, for coming on. This was fun.
Of course. I'm so happy to be on here, as always, and I really enjoyed all of the stories today.
Me too. Great job, everybody. You all are amazing. I hope you have a great week and stay safe. And I will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Perplexity, a mystery podcast, hosted, written, and produced by Kadra Brennan. If you enjoyed today's episode, tell the world about it by going to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leaving a 5-star review. It helps the show more than you know. Contact, support, and merch links can be found in the episode description. And if you have a story to share or a topic request, send an email to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. Kadra would love to read your story on the podcast. Until next week, stay curious.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.